You are about to hear the most interesting, informative, thought-provoking, opinion-leading, and funny show in America, on air and on the World Wide Web. This is The Rob Carson Show.
And by the grace of God, it is finally Friday. Hour number two right ahead. Brigitte Gabriel joins us at the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk about Chuck Schumer, the anti-Semite, who wants to unseat the president of Israel in a time of war. That shows you how anti-Semitic the Democrat Party is. Why are you still voting Democrat if you're a Jew? Honestly, why the hell are you? Why are you still voting Democrat if you're a woman? Because they want men to compete with women and become women and dance around, you know, and say they're women and all that and destroy every reason you exist. You know, that's perfectly fine. All you are is an abortion to the Democrat Party. If you're a person of color, why would you belong to the Democrat Party? Look at your inner city schools. Look at the state of the black family, the black state, period, in this country with regard to poverty, with regard to the Democrat Party. Every single election year saying, hey, we're going to give you this, we're going to give you that, we're going to give you this, we're going to give you that. And then the day after the election, what do? Say it with me. Get up and leave some money on the dresser and you don't see them again for another 4 years. That's just the way it is, isn't it? It's just the way it is. This Democrat Party is so beyond intellectually and morally bankrupt. And I said that years ago. I said intellectually and morally bankrupt. And they always have been. What has the Democrat Party done for you? Infrastructure is still bleeped. Social Security and Medicare still bleeped. Schools are worse than ever. They have caused racial division. In this country, they have caused division on every group in this country, not caused by the Republican Party, not caused by conservatives or libertarians. Democrat Party. They are not a force for good, and I would venture to say never have been. From when they were the party of slavery to when they became the party of the KKK and Jim Crow. And then they became the party of the Great Society, and they destroyed the black nuclear family. So what do you want? Really? Would you rather have a party that says America sucks, even though most of the world wants to come here? Most of the world wants to come here because you may think that, you know, you're suffering because, oh, my God, I can't afford a new iPhone 15. I've got to still use this iPhone 14. Oh, God, the country sucks. Oh, my God. I can't get a portion in the strip mall near the subway down the street. I've got to go to a state that they actually allow the abortion. Oh, my God. God, you're just so laughable. So laughable. Jonathan Turley being asked about Judge McAfee McAhai in Fulton County, Georgia, who decided today that Fannie Willis, despite perjuring herself and laundering money and all of this stuff, the problem is Nathan Wade, her gigolo. Yeah, I said that out loud. It'll make sense in a second, trust me. But here is Jonathan Turley talking about whether this judge made a political decision or not.
Well, I have to say that I've been praising the judge, and I still believe that he has conducted himself in a fair and professional way. I think that this does take an element of courage for an elected state judge, because many people in Fulton County are not going to like.
How is this brave? He's in Fulton County. Fulton County is left of left. They were the ones who ushered in Fannie Willis. Really? Really?
The fact that he just disqualified Wade and gave credence to this theory of an improper relationship, an appearance issue that does touch upon Willis.
She's just an employee, or he's just an employee. She's the DA.
In her office. That's all for the good. The problem is the disjointed aspect of the opinion itself. It doesn't really hold together that well. The big question was,
really,
what is the standard? Is it just an appearance, or do you have to show an actual conflict? He indicates that he believes it is indeed the appearance standard.
Oh, dear God.
Well, if that's the case, I don't see how Willis could escape disqualification.
Because he doesn't want to get fired and have his career ruined?
Many people believe that both of these prosecutors lied on the stand.
They did.
That there were false statements submitted to courts.
Yes.
The key about that is Willis and Wade are prosecuting people in this case for that very conduct.
Ah.
And so it's
there's the double standard.
Hard to see how Willis continuing the case does not undermine it in the eyes of the public and hurts the case overall. You know, in some ways, this result may actually appeal to Trump and his defendants. You know, they established that there was an improper relationship, at least for the purposes of disqualification, and they left a wounded Willis to continue on in the case. And she will stand accused of false statements as she prosecutes others for that type of conduct. And keep in mind, there are state efforts now to fully investigate this, including possible bar issues.
Yeah, she should be barred from practicing law again. Jim Cassin and I came up with this at the beginning of this radio show, and now you get to hear it.
Right here. He was for his gigolo, and now he has to go. That was the judge's ruling. Scott made a dirty deal.
Yeah.
He didn't stop the steal.
Did a dirty deed.
No one is fooling. Hey there, Brian Kemp. You're such a wimp. Tell your AG to end it. Kemp is a chump, and because he hates Trump, he'll try to defend it. Wade was Funny's gigolo, and you had to know they wouldn't get what they both deserved. A slap on the wrist, that is why we're pissed. Justice was not served. All the money paid to Nathan Wade.
Dibby-dibby-doo.
On his sword he's fallen. McAfee should step down. He's another liberal clown. Brian Kemp, stop stalling.
Come
because
on.
He ain't got no more.
There you go. It is Jim Gossett. If you want to subscribe to his Patreon channel and help a brother out as a conservative content producer, just go to patreon.com and look up Jim Gossett Comedy. How does that sound? How does that sound? I think it sounds cool, but not as cool as Chris in Fort Worth. Chris in Fort Worth, what's up today, my friend?
Hello, my man, Rob. First off, real quick, I want to apologize to you and the audience.
Yeah.
Last few times I talked to you, I was full of anger. Full of anger. You know, piss and vinegar.
Yes.
I've changed my ways. I want to be calm and cool.
Well, thank God, because the listening audience was waiting for these words from your mouth.
I bet they were. But as it goes with Bonnie Willis, she needs to lose her law degree.
Yeah, she needs to be disbarred.
License. Yeah. And you know what, Governor Kemp, he's a Davos guy. He went to Davos recently, and that guy's not American.
Oh yeah,
he's an ANO, American in name only.
Oh, he is majorly ANO. That's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, and Bonnie Willis, she needs to be punished.
I think Bonnie liked it that way too. But what? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said Bonnie Willis was laundering money.
Yeah, yes, she was.
Amongst all the other illegal things she was doing.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that funny? He got all this money, and he went on a little trip with her and everything, and she reimbursed him in cash.
Yeah.
How stupid. Do they think we are?
In her house, she's got the stash box. Wow.
Yes.
I never had a stash box.
I got to tell you, I look forward to the day when Donald Trump is the president of the United States, and this wretched, awful woman is removed, can never practice a law, and hopefully goes to damn frickin' jail, to the same jail that she has sentenced people in that filthy hellhole, Fulton County Jail, where she had Donald Trump do his mugshot. I hope they rub her filthy face in it. I got to tell you, just kind of done with it. Chris, I got to run. Now you made me mad. What the hell? No. All right, bud. Have a good one. Take care. You know, stealing a wallet, a cell phone, a car, these are threats we all understand. A thief grabs and flees. But in a rising form of fraud known as deed theft, criminals have a way to steal no less than your home and your land. It happens all the time. Scammers can forge a signature, create a fake deed, take the land, bring out a home equity loan on your property. Maybe your home is fully paid off. And, you know, you're planning on using it for your retirement. What happens if all of a sudden you wake up and somebody's taking out $50,000 on your home loan, a line of credit, and you got to pursue that in a court of law? You can't afford the lawsuit. And there goes $50,000 right out the window, essentially. Well, Home Title Lock can give you an idea of what's going on with your property. If somebody has tried this or has succeeded in this, make sure your home is still in your name. Make sure that there is no equity taken from your home, and all you got to do is sign up for free. You get a free comprehensive scan of your home's title, 30 days of legendary Home Title Lock protection. Go to HomeTitleLock.com, promo code Carson. HomeTitleLock.com, promo code Carson, and you will get all of those things. I did it a couple years ago, and I found all sorts of stuff going on, all sorts of funky stuff. And I had my identity stolen a few years ago. And I'll never forget. I went to buy a car, and they said, well, we got to lock everything. We've got to lock everything. And so, you know, there you go. So anyway, HomeTitleLock.com, promo code Carson, if you will. All right, there you go. I think I've talked enough about TikTok. I think I've talked enough about Fanny. I think we need to talk about, Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer, and, you know, I got to tell you, you would think that somebody who is a practicing Jew would be concerned about the future of Israel. You'd also think that a practicing Catholic like Joe Biden might be concerned about, I don't know, aborting 60 million babies since Roe v. Wade. But you see, they try to straddle the fence, and they can't. Because they are siding with evil. And you can't just flip a badge out and say, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Jew, and then go against the principles of those institutions. But here is Chuck Schumer yesterday. He essentially, and listen, they're actively pursuing kind of a coup in Israel right now. The CIA, I'm sure, is involved. We know the Biden administration is involved. They want to remove Benjamin Netanyahu. Because Joe Biden is under all sorts of pressure because of what happened in Dearborn. You got a bunch of radical leftist Hamas supporting terrorists who don't like the fact that Hamas is going to be wiped off the face of the earth. Because that is what Benjamin Netanyahu has said he will do. And I'm with him 1,000%. I want Gaza razed. R-A-Z-E-D. And everybody in Gaza, you evacuate the innocents and you reduce it to powder. No two-state solution, unless, as suggested by my my boss Lee Kinberg, there is a two-state solution: the state of Israel alive and the state of Hamas is dead. There you go. Here is Chuck.
The fourth major obstacle to peace is Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who has all too frequently bowed to the demands of extremists like Ministers Smotrich and Ben-Gavir, and the settlers in the West Bank. I have known Prime Minister Netanyahu for...
I don't believe the settlers in the West Bank invaded a music festival and killed 260 innocent individuals, raping, murdering, cutting babies out of wombs, gang-raping women, and then the final gang-raper shoots her in the back of the head, putting babies in ovens. I don't think that's happened. I could be wrong.
A very long time. While we have vehemently disagreed on many occasions, I will always respect his extraordinary bravery for Israel on the battlefield as a younger man. I believe in his heart he has his highest priority is the security of Israel.
This man is Gollum.
However, I also believe Prime Minister Netanyahu has lost his way.
Hold on. You've lost your way. You need a GPS, a God positioning system.
Allowing his political survival to take the precedence.
No, it's the survival of the state of Israel, you moron.
Over the best interests of Israel.
Wow, I got to tell you, that is remarkable. Now, coming up, I've got some more audio. I've got a bunch of members of the GOP are saying, no, you're wrong. And then one of the Hamas hostages says that when they were taken to a hospital in Gaza, the nurses and doctors all cheered that they were hostages. Yeah, that's coming up. This is the Rob Carson Show.
It's time to make common sense common again. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Coming up at the bottom of the hour. Coming up at the bottom. That's weird, right? Anyway, one of our favorite guests, Brigitte Gabriel, national security analyst, unflappable person, by the way, and the best-selling author, chairman of actforamerica.org. She's fantastic. And all I have to do with Brigitte is just say one word, ask her a question, and sit back for 10 minutes. It's just amazing. It's amazing. Here is what Republicans are saying about Chuck Schumer, saying that essentially Benjamin Netanyahu needs to be deposed in a time of war.
Saw the remarks from Senator Chuck Schumer calling for new elections in Israel. And we want to speak very clearly and concisely to say that this is not only highly inappropriate, it's just plain wrong.
It's disturbing to see the Senate Majority Leader attacking our strongest ally in the Middle East, Israel, at this time of war, to have Senate Majority Leader.
By the way, Israel is the only other country on the planet that I would take up arms for. And I know that many of you feel the same way.
Schumer attacking the democratically elected leadership of Israel is disgraceful.
Instead of meddling in elections of a sovereign nation, Chuck Schumer should follow House Republicans' lead in supporting our ally in their darkest hour.
Chuck Schumer calling for the U.S. to meddle in Israel's elections is unprecedented and very dangerous.
Yeah, it is. And I believe that he is going to get a lot of backlash because of this. And it makes you wonder whose side they're on. They're so desperate for votes, so worried that maybe Joe Biden isn't going to get the votes of people who want Israel wiped off the face of the planet, right? Isn't that what it is? That's how bad things are with the Democrat Party. I mean, my God. This is Byron Donalds on Newsmax talking about the Chuckster.
I found Senator Schumer's comments to be disgusting and not appropriate for an American senator, the leader in the United States Senate, by the way, when our greatest ally in the region is at war with one of their great nemesis. We should be behind Israel every step of the way, not trying to use this moment to dispatch Bibi Netanyahu. On a broader perspective, when you are reckless like that with your words, it demonstrates to Hamas and to the Iranians, for that matter, that they have a foothold in being able to dislodge Israel. That is completely wrong. It is the wrong strategy. It's one of the reasons why our adversaries believe that they can get on the move and take territory at a critical time like this. Chuck Schumer's comments were completely out of line, and voters should see very clearly that there is an anti-Israel strain in the Democrat Party. It is sad to see. It is unfortunate, but it is the reality today in 24.
Here's a little audio from 9/11/2001. Something happened on that day, and it wasn't insurrectionists storming the U.S. Capitol. No, it was celebrating in Gaza as Americans burned to death.
We're going to show you from the West Bank. These are Palestinian celebrations in the wake of Tuesday's terror attacks in the United States. Apparently, Palestinians took to the street chanting, "God is great." People were throwing candy, distributing candy to passersby.
Party!
The U.S. government has become increasingly unpopular, particularly in the West Bank and Gaza Strip, because Palestinians feel that the U.S. government has sided with Israel. One man, Nawal Abdel Fattah, wearing a long black dress, threw sweets in the air, saying, actually, that's a woman, pardon me, saying she was happy.
Well, you never know.
Because, quote, America is the head of the snake. America always stands by Israel in its war against us. Meanwhile.
Yeah, you know what? And here's the thing. They had a chance to make the Gaza into paradise on earth. They did. They even got beachfront property. And what did they choose? They chose to dance with the devil. They did. And those kids who got all that candy, they grew up. And they invaded Israel on October the 7th, and they raped and murdered their way through it in a barbaric fashion the world hasn't seen since Nazi Germany. And the left and the Democrat Party immediately sided with the people who, the barbarians who did it. They even made up a hospital bombing so they could ignite anti-Israel protests around our country. And guess what? Nobody bought it. And if you want to keep continuing that on our soil, you're going to get your ass handed to you. I'm going to tell you that right now. You're going to get your ass handed to you. All right. Coming up, I'm going to take a break and let Brigitte Gabriel do the talking. She's awesome. Don't go anywhere. Trust me, it's going to be a wild ride, and it's on the other side of this break. And this, my friends, is the Rob Carson Show. It is a Friday edition of the Rob Carson Show. The number is 800-922-6680. For our next guest, I have some special music prepared here. This is the theme song from the Oscars. The Oscars was last week. And we have decided here on the Rob Carson Show, the envelope, please. The award for best female hair on television. The nominees were Judge Jeanine and Brigitte Gabriel. Hold on, here's the envelope. And the winner is Brigitte Gabriel. She's on the Newsmax hotline right now. Hello, hello, Brigitte, how are you today?
Hello, my friend. Great to be with you.
How are you today?
Doing great, thank you.
Well, congratulations on your award for best female hair on television. You are fantastic. You are fantastic. Now, listen, we want to get serious here. First of all, it is always a pleasure to have you on the show. Second of all, we all know what Chuck Schumer said yesterday about unseating Benjamin Netanyahu. It has been met with a great deal of consternation by members of the Republican Party and others. I'd love to know your thoughts on his comments and also the Democrat Party with regard to the state of Israel.
Look, his comments were shameful. Can you imagine after 9/11 somebody telling us that we don't like George Bush? George Bush is doing the wrong policy about America and we need to get rid of George Bush and replace him? Who is anybody from any foreign government to tell us in America what to do with our duly elected president? The same goes for Israel. The people elected Netanyahu. Netanyahu is serving as the leader of Israel right now. And by the way, all Israelis are united in their vision and mission to destroy Hamas completely to preserve their own security. So Israelis are united behind the prime minister. They want him to finish the job. They understand that the two-state solution, all that dream that they were dreaming, you know, the lefties in Israel, we're going to have peace with the Palestinians next door, let them come work in our homes. They realized after October 7th that that's a reality, that's a mirage. So who are we to tell Israel what to do? And to top it off, Schumer is Jewish. I mean, goes to show you there is certain element within the Jewish community in the United States that is self-destructing. They need to let Israel do what is best for Israel, and we need to get out of their business.
I'm glad that he wasn't in the ghettos, the Warsaw ghettos in World War II, because he would have said, oh yeah, they're right over there. That's what it reminds me of. He is such a backstabber of the Jewish people. I can't believe it. I'm going to play you something now. This is Major General Patrick Ryder, all right, talking about Hamas. This is a major general talking about Hamas. I want you to listen to what he has to say about coexisting with Hamas.
And now the press secretary of the U.S. Department of Defense, Major General,
this is from Sky News,
Patrick Ryder, has expressed hopes that Hamas will do the right thing for the Palestinian people.
Here we go.
Do you anticipate that Hamas will try to fire on the operation, on the causeway?
You know, look, I mean, that's certainly a risk. Again, but if if Hamas truly does care about the Palestinian people, then again, one would hope that this international mission to deliver aid to people who need it would be able to happen unhindered.
He hopes.
Okay, there you go. So if Hamas cares enough about the Palestinian people, they won't fire upon the aid pier that's going to be built. What do you think about that? You think Hamas really cares about the Palestinian people there, Brigitte?
Goes to show you how we as Westerners do not understand our enemy and how they think. Hamas cares about the Palestinian cause. What's so important, more important than people, is accomplishing your goal in the long run by establishing a Palestinian state, and that means defeating your enemy and killing Israel. And if you can sacrifice, you know, 10,000 Palestinians, 30,000 Palestinians in order to accomplish your goal, that would be just collateral damage. The whole Arabic world is united on this because this is how they think. And I want to give you an example of Khomeini talking about, this is way back in 2006, 2007. He was talking about how much Iran is willing to sacrifice people in order to finish building their nuclear bomb. He said, we can afford, he was speaking to high school students in Iran, and he said, we can afford, we're going to wipe Israel Israel off the map. If we develop a nuclear bomb, we will use it to wipe Israel off the map. And we are willing to take the risk when Israel is going to retaliate. We know Israel is going to retaliate. He said, but we are Muslims, and we use our wombs to multiply and make babies. So even if we lose 50 million Iranians, we will consider this as a collateral damage in order for the end victory of wiping Israel off the map. We in the West value every life. We in the West value every individual. We would never think in a million years that, you know what, sure, we can sacrifice 30,000 Americans, let them die as long as we win in the end. But this is not how Hamas or Islamic organizations think. They are willing to sacrifice few Palestinian lives in order to obtain victory in the long run. That's the end goal.
Brigitte, you forgot that the Democrat Party is completely willing to sacrifice lives as long as they're in a woman's stomach. 60 million of them have been killed. 60 million since Roe v. Wade, and the Democrat Party hasn't given. The only difference between us and them is they're smaller and they live behind a fleshy wall that we don't no longer live behind. So, you know, it's ridiculous. I want to ask you this. The Biden administration is talking about freeing up $10 billion in frozen assets for Iran. This says to me one thing. We have enemies of Israel in charge of our country right now. Our deep state, and I believe it's being controlled by Barack Obama, raised in a black nationalist church, a Marxist church, anti-Semitic. I believe we have enemies who would be perfectly fine with the elimination of Israel from the planet.
I agree with you because actions speak louder than words. We have seen immediately after the October 7th attack that our own government employees were willing to walk out of the job in the middle of the day to demonstrate pro-Hamas, a pro-terrorist organization designated by our government. We know Biden is senile. Biden obviously is not running the country, so we know that deep state is running the country, and I believe multiple people are running the country. And obviously, this is a third Obama term because Obama is behind the scenes. But they are hostile towards Israel. Look, it was the Obama-Biden regime when Obama was president that went into this signing a nuclear deal with Iran. Remember 2014, 2015? It was Obama that initiated this. It was Obama when he became president immediately in 2008. His first address as a president was to the Iranian people, congratulating them on their spring holiday before he addressed anybody else. So we know that Obama, his minions who are still within the deep state, our government employees, all the young nitwits who have been graduating from our universities with degrees but without any common sense, who are now working within the government, who are completely brainwashed against America and against Israel, because let's face it, they hate capitalism, they hate our democracy, I hate to call it our democracy. They hate everything that our republic affords us in way of freedom. That's how I want to phrase it. They hate all that. They want the government to have control. And yes, they are working against Israel. And when you see Schumer standing at the on the floor talking the way he talked yesterday or day before yesterday, you think to yourself, we have our own senators in the highest benches of our government on Capitol Hill, basically telling Israel what to do and basically siding with what is not of Israel's interest, but of the interest of Hamas.
You know, Batya Unger Sargon, I had her on my show. She's magnificent, if you've ever heard of her. She's a wonderful, wonderful person. And she talked about the same language that is used against the Israel and Israelis versus the police and white people in our country. Colonists. They're both being called colonists. They are both being called capitalists, a host of other things. And it's that same modus operandi, which is based on Marxism. But you combine Marxism with anti-Semitism, and you've got a very, very deadly combination in the Middle East.
Exactly, and that's exactly what we are dealing with. And it's not only a very deadly combination in the Middle East. This deadly combination is spilling over onto us because we're being dragged into it. Iran is using its proxies in the Middle East to drag America into war. Iran is working with China, South Korea, Russia, our enemies, in order to create a new world order, a counterbalance to the superpower of the United States to bring America a few notches down. Except this time, they have an enabler in the White House, a senile president who's an empty suit sitting up there, and the deep state within our own government that's subconsciously, maybe even consciously, supporting and helping and enabling Iran, Russia, and China to sabotage and bring down our country. And
well, it's obvious, Brigitte, it's obvious that we should have already sent $16 billion in aid to Israel. You know, that the fact that they're going with sending money to Ukraine first, it should be very obvious that we are no longer, at least the people in charge of this government right now, are no longer allies of Israel. It should be very, very obvious.
Exactly, and that's why we are speaking up. We are mobilizing people. You know, with my organization, Act for America, actforamerica.org, I encourage people to go check our website. We have many Act Now campaigns putting pressure on our elected officials to do the right thing in standing with Israel and supporting our allies and not squandering money on Ukraine the way we are squandering money, whether we're squandering it on Ukraine, whether we're squandering it on the criminal illegal aliens who are coming into this country, and our government using our tax dollars, Rob, to put them in five-star hotels, $1,500 a night in New York, giving them cell phones, PlayStations, all paid for by our tax dollars.
Let me ask you this.
Very hard.
I know. Let me ask you this, because I'm not a foreign policy expert. I just have common sense and life experience. There can be no two-state solution with the Palestinians in Israel. So what do you recommend? Because I say my policy is evacuate the innocent, raise Gaza, R-A-Z, Gaza. Those who want to get along with Israel can stay. What happens to the rest? Where do we take them? There's always been hints that Joe Biden wants to bring them here. Hells to the no on that. But what is your solution? What do you think?
That's right. First of all, we do not want to bring them here, and we have a specific Act Now campaign on our website to stop any Palestinian refugees from Gaza from entering the United States. This is so important for people to take action on. Go to actforamerica.org right now, sign our petition, sign our campaign to stop any Palestinian refugees coming into the United States. Now, having said that, I think right now there is talk between Israel and Egypt, and the plan is, this is why Egypt is setting up camps, tents in the Sinai Desert to basically move the Palestinians out of Gaza until Israel finishes the operation. And I think the way that Israel is going to guarantee for Egypt that once Israel finishes destroying Hamas, they will be able to return back to Gaza, but only under Egyptian supervision. Remember, amen, Gaza used to be a part of Egypt. Israel did not take Gaza from the Palestinians. Israel took Gaza from Egypt. And gotcha. Israel took the West Bank from Jordan. Both of these territories were never a Palestinian state. They were Jordan and Egypt. So basically, with Egypt overseeing Gaza, that would be the solution for Palestinians to live side by side with Israel, not in their own independent state, but go back to the way it used to be, where it used to be Egyptian territory supervised by Egypt. And now I think, you know, they're probably going to make it international territory supervised by Egypt and the United Nations.
Very good. Well, I appreciate your time today. Actforamerica.org. Get involved. Sign up. Make it a favorite on your browser. Check it out every day. And Brigitte Gabriel, as always, great to talk to you. I want you to know that every day I pray for Israel. Every day I pray for the United States. And I pray for you as well. Thank you for what you do, because you're an amazing person.
Thank you, Rob. You're wonderful. Thank you so much. Great being with you, and I look forward to next time.
All right. I need to rest up before that happens.
All right. Have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend. Let's take a break. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show. Rashid Gabriel, ladies and gentlemen, will be putting up the video on that on my Rumble channel at Rob Carson Show. Also, Newsmax, they will be putting it up on their Rumble channel and the whole deal. Follow me on all social media at Rob Carson Show. Write me personally at robcarsonshow@gmail.com. That's what I'm using right now anyway. Elizabeth Vargas, she did an interview with Judith Ronan, who was abducted along with her 17-year-old daughter, Natalie, by Hamas on October the 7th. She was just released. And here's what happened to her when they got to the hospital. Okay, she's being led by these terrorists to this hospital. You know, because, you know, it's a humanitarian organization. There are no terrorists in the hospital. Guess again.
But perhaps the most chilling moment came not from the Hamas leader, but from the hospital staff.
Yeah, the minute we came in, all the nurses were standing there and going like this. They were all so happy.
Wow.
That they came back with prey, with Israeli Jewish prey.
Mm-hmm.
Although I told them I'm an American, but Jewish prey, like we've captured our prey, mm-hmm. and everybody's...
They're monsters.
Very happy about this.
The people who work at the hospital.
Nurses were cheering?
Yeah, there is a leader nurse, and all of them were like... I think the other ones were afraid of her. I really don't think all of them were happy to see us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're very much terrified, because you have to understand that right now they're surrounded with people that are gun-loaded.
That's crucial because Hamas has long denied that the militant group operates inside hospitals.
Yeah, they do. They do. Here's another self-loathing person of the Jewish persuasion. Bernie Sanders wants a 32-hour work week, which would destroy small businesses.
Fox Business.
Here he is being confronted in front of an elevator in the Capitol.
It seems like Democrats want businesses to be taxed more, pay their workers.
Really? Is that what you think?
pay their workers.
Excuse me.
I didn't
excuse
get to ask
me.
A question.
Okay, thank you.
Senator,
you want to hold it? Okay. We held a hearing on a 32-hour work week because what we have seen is that over the last 50 years, despite a huge increase in worker productivity, almost all of the new wealth has gone to the top 1%. Well, 60%.
You became a member of the top 1% in public office.
Send to the people living paycheck to paycheck.
He's got four houses.
Many of our people are exhausted. We work the longest hours of any.
I think we're exhausted of your crap.
People in the industrialized world. I think it's time for a shortened work week.
Can I ask you a question about that? It seems like Democrats want businesses to be taxed more,
really?
pay their workers more, lower prices, people not to work.
You know what I would like to see?
I'd like to see your rear end out of office, to be quite honest. Really getting kind of tired of Bernie the socialist. Here's Jim Gossett.
We Dems hate people working, prefer dependency. Rather see them shirking responsibility.
Oh, okay.
If you can't avoid being employed, let's reduce your workload to 4 days a week.
There you go.
4 days a week. Businesses will suffer 4 days a week. Because you will be paid the same. You think prices are high now. If this bill becomes law, there will be inflation like you never saw.
No, that's transitory.
If you are a slacker, I'm your biggest backer. You'll love it if you're lazy. 4 days a week.
Okay, there you go. Last hour of the show is right ahead. I would not go anywhere if I were you because it only gets better. This is the Rob Carson Show. A lot of the times we think about bettering ourselves. We think of going on a diet, exercising. What about your brain? I'm kind of tired of scrolling through TV shows, finding nothing but mind-numbing content. That's why I decided to take a course from Hillsdale College. You can learn about the works of C.S. Lewis, the stories of the Book of Genesis, the meaning of the U.S. Constitution, the rise and fall of the Roman Republic, or the history of the ancient Christian church with Hillsdale College's online courses available for free. That's right, free. I personally recommend you sign up for American citizenship and its decline with Victor Davis Hanson. I think you know how I feel about Victor Davis Hanson. He is marvelous. In this 8-lecture course, Dr. Hanson explores the history of citizenship in the West, threats like the erosion of the middle class, the disappearance of our borders, the growth of unaccountable deep state, and the rise of globalist organizations. Right now, you can go to hillsdale.edu/newsmax to start. Go to hillsdale.edu/newsmax. It's free. It's easy to get started. That's hillsdale.edu/newsmax. hillsdale.edu/newsmax.
Wide Web. This is the Rob Carson Show.
And by the grace of God, it is finally Friday. The number is 800-922-6680. Oh, it's been a good show so far. I mean, a really, 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 really good show so far. And if you want to download the podcast after the show today, just go to your usual podcast platforms and subscribe, will ya? And you can ask Alexa, hey, play the latest edition of the Rob Carson Show, will ya? Yeah, just do that. And there she goes. She just went off. That's fantastic. I've got an Alexa in my studio. Anyway, if you want to call 800-922-6680, that is the number. If you would like to call. Alexa, stop. There you go. Look, she even played. She got the first episode. She got the episode of yesterday already ready to play. And as much as I would love to hear the sound of my voice, no, not at all. Thank you. So if you want to become a, you just want to, just say, Alexa, play the show. Alexa, stop. Stop. Please, please don't kill me when you become self-aware. So I have, I've been talking to you a little bit about my producer, Ken, Redneck MacGyver, and how he got salmonella accidentally. He got some chicken wings that were close to the expiration, had a yellow sticker on them, left them in the fridge for a couple days. I know he does some things really brilliantly. And then in other ways, he's just a bachelor, like a really kind of, bachelor. And so he got salmonella. And so he's sick and he's in the bathroom and he's in the bed and he's in the bathroom, he's in the bed. And I'm just talking about like the first 12 hours. So he gets into his emergency medical kit from the wellness company, and he reads the instructions and says, "Whoa, ho, 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 hey, 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 Z-Pak will help you get rid of salmonella." And guess what? He took it, and within a half an hour, he felt better. Within a couple hours, he was back to normal, and he had it. He didn't know it, didn't need to go anywhere. He had an emergency, and I've had salmonella a couple times. Not fun. You don't want to go to the doctor. You don't want to have to make an appointment. I'm not saying skip the doctor. I'm just saying if you have an emergency, and particularly if something happens this year, because, Joe Biden's the stinking president and the Democrats are terrified that Donald Trump is going to win the presidency, you never know what's going to happen. So protect your family. All right? You can get ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, two drugs that were banned by the federal government, even though they were completely effective against COVID. You got Z-Pak. You've got amoxicillin, among other things. And all of it is available at this website, okay? If you want to get your... emergency medical kit. And they've got other ones too. They've got a contagion kit. They've got a travel kit, the whole deal. Just go to twc.health/Carson. twc.health/Carson. Okay? 10% off when you use the code. If you got jumper cables, you need an emergency medical kit. If you got some extra food, in case of an emergency, need an emergency medical kit, right? And the only one that I would ever use, ever, 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 because Dr. Peter McCullough is one of the people who created this, twc.health/Carson, twc.health/Carson. It was an interesting thing on Capitol Hill this week where several Democrats and then a couple of Republicans were there, and they were asked about illegals voting in election. And, of course, the Democrats would love to have illegals vote. That's why they're bringing all these illegals in, buttering them up, giving them hotel rooms, giving them in New York City. You ready for this? Sit down for this. New York City. Where's that article? Where's that gosh darn article? They are spending. Hold on, I've got it. It's here somewhere. I got a gigantic. Oh yeah, here we go. Are you ready? How would you like to live on this? You guys who have to shop at Dollar General to get your grocery stores, get your groceries and all that. You who are suffering. Maybe you're a military member. You're low rank military individual. You got to go get food stamps because the money they pay you isn't enough to sacrifice your life for the country. In New York City, $387 per illegal per day. Yeah, that's like $10,000 a month. That's more than $10,000 a month. The city of New York is spending $387 per illegal immigrant on food and housing per day. $2,700. You could get steak. You could eat hamburger helper with the hamburger in it. Oh my God. February's number is down $5 from an October count when they were housing 65,000 migrants, $391 per illegal. Now it's down to $387 per illegal. They just don't like you at all, do they? They just want them sweet, sweet votes, don't they? You guys, people of color. Well, here we go. There's your Democrat Party. Yeah, there's your Democrat Party. Anyway, so I decided to put together a little montage, a little hat tip to Generation X. You'll understand in a second. So in this little montage, you have a couple of Democrats who are noncommittal on illegals voting, and one, a Republican, Hans von Spakovsky. All right, and then I did a little something. I put together a little something that you Gen Xers will appreciate.
Do you believe that only citizens of the United States should be able to vote in federal elections?
We don't have a position about non-citizens voting in federal elections. We believe that's what the current laws are, and so we are certainly fighting for everyone who's eligible under the current laws to be able to vote.
Ms. Camarillo? Mm.
That's a decision of the state law, but I want to emphasize that.
It's a decision of state law as to who should vote in federal elections?
States decide who gets to vote in various elections.
Wow,
and in
go.
Federal elections, I believe that we should be encouraging people to naturalize and then vote.
Yeah.
Okay, but you're saying that the federal government should have no say in who votes in a federal election.
I don't have a position on that.
Oh, well, okay.
Mr. Von Spakovsky?
As a first-generation son of naturalized citizens,
what?
I believe only citizens should be allowed to vote in all U.S. elections.
Here we go. Generation X right here. Sing with me.
One of these things is not like the other. One of these things just doesn't belong.
Oh, I think
can
does.
You tell which thing is not like the other before I finish my song?
Hey, there you go. One of those things is not like the other. There's a couple of Democrats who are completely fine with the illegals voting, and then there's a Republican over here who is not down with it. So there you go, Generation X. Aha. Let's go to Phil in Parkville. Hello there, Phil. Welcome to the rock.
Hey, how you doing today, man?
I'm good, buddy. What's up?
Listening to you and thinking about Russ all the time, man.
Oh.
He used to go everywhere with me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Well, listen, the same way for me, bud. Since I was 21 years old out of college, and I heard Rush Limbaugh. I was 22. And then I started writing for him. And I listened to him every day for 30 years of my life.
Every day, man. I mean, I had a couple portable radios.
Yes,
he
sir.
He went with me when I got my checkup, my colonoscopy, and everything, man. You know?
Well, I don't know if I want to be there for your colonoscopy there, Phil. I don't know. A little too personal. But no, you know what? Here's what I say about Rush. No one will ever be able to fill his shoes, but I walk in his footsteps, Phil. I walk in his footsteps every single day.
You do a good job, though. You really do.
I appreciate that.
I really enjoy you. You're good to hear. And listen, you just left the market with me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to tell you, Fonny can stay on the case. What kind of crap is that, man?
I know. It's you know what it is. It's a judge who is terrified of her. You've got the federal government involved. Joe Biden's White House is involved in all of these cases. She went to the White House. She perjured herself. Said she didn't go to the White House. And that judge is scared, and he wants to be able to work again. That's obvious, Phil. It's obvious.
They all have broken more laws than Trump ever could imagine breaking, man.
I know. But you know what, Phil? And I can tell by the sound of your voice, I'm assuming that you are not from a white guy from Arkansas.
No, I'm a black guy from Maryland.
But I want to ask you about that, because you listen to Rush Limbaugh. You understand what the Democrat Party has done, particularly the black community. Do you feel, as I do, that the country is coming together to save the country? The good people of the country, of all colors, of all creeds, are coming together to save our country. And are you ready for that fight?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because it hurts me that so many black people, as well as family members, tell me, I'm voting for Biden. You voting for what? One of the biggest racists this country have ever seen?
Yeah.
And, you know, I always say it, you know why we are racist? Because every day they called George Bush a racist, and he never said a word.
I know.
So he got in there and ran, and his brother, Trump kicked his brother's butt.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden he got something to say. I'm so pissed and sick of him.
Yeah, I know. You know what I like to say, and I said this when Donald Trump, you know, got arrested and all the persecutions he's gone through. I said that we would, homeboys and hillbillies, would come together to save our country. And I've added something to that. Homeboys, hillbillies, and Hebrews. That's what's going to say right there. You know what I'm talking about? Gentiles and Jews, we're all going to come together to save our country. And I think, and I do believe, particularly, Phil, when it comes to the black community, and I am so sick of the generations of kids in inner cities that have been so destroyed by Democrat policies. And now the schools are even worse in places like Baltimore. And it just tears my heart out. It tears my heart out.
They just voted in Maryland. They had a vote to let kids go to any school they want.
Yes.
And if it was the trouble school, you know, they could find another one and go.
Good.
Down, man.
And unbelievable.
Maryland is a Democrat state.
I know. There's no hope for Maryland.
Huh?
Yeah. There's no hope for Maryland, Phil. There is. You got an idiot. You got an idiot governor, and Baltimore's got an idiot mayor, and the election system in Maryland is a complete joke. I hope that Kim Klasick is elected to Congress, maybe turn things around.
Me too, man. Me too. Yeah, but I'm rooting for it, man.
All right. Well, God bless you.
This time.
Hey, you know what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to play something for you because you're a big fan of the Rush Limbaugh program. And I wrote for Rush for many years. I'm going to play a little song that Jim Gossett did for Rush Limbaugh that I think you're going to enjoy, and it's going to make your day. How does that sound?
It'll be great to hear. Thank you. Thank you. Bless you, man.
All right. God bless you. Here it is. You ready? You better be ready because this is really, really good. Take care, Phil. Crank up your radio, bro.
Talent on loan from God.
Alone.
And have my brain tied behind my back, to be fair.
You were the sunshine of our life. Rush.
Come on.
That's why we'll miss you oh so much.
And you know, I'm the mayor of Realville here.
You cut down liberals like a knife. Rush.
L. Rush Ball.
Forever you'll be number one.
I am Rush Limbaugh, household name.
America needed a hero.
In all four corners of the world.
And then you came to our rescue.
The Limbaugh Institute for Advanced Conservative Studies.
Competition you had zero.
Come on.
How could so much talent be?
And don't doubt me.
You were the sunshine of our life.
Come on.
Rush. That's why we listened every day.
That's it. It's not much more complicated than that.
You helped us get through all the strife.
Rush.
No one will ever take your place.
Nope.
Because Rush was.
Audience expectations every day behind this golden EIB microphone.
I, you know the story. I started writing for Rush Limbaugh as a kid out of college. And so I'm a graduate of the EIB University. And every day that I come in here, I look at it as a blessing that I do this for a living. every day, this is a dream come true for me, and it took me a long time to get here. And I will never forsake you. Every day I come in here, and I will do everything I can to bring you the most information, the most entertainment, and the most motivation that I can give you. So there you go. On the other side, we've got a chitty chitty fang fang update, Justin Trudeau's Canada update, and Riley Gaines is suing the NCAA. Yay, this is the Rob Carson Show. This is not an EB, and it never will be. It is a song called 1,000 Horsepower, and the band is Godsmack. And that's one of my favorite go-tos when it comes to the workout regimen. There you go. Oh, this is bad news for dog lovers. Well, I mean, unless you love to eat dogs. Hot dogs. Yeah. In North Korea, hot dog is a completely different thing. Completely different. North Korea is banning keeping dogs as pets unless you plan to skin and eat them. I wish I were kidding. North Koreans risk, and by the way, in North Korea, that's like filet mignon. Yeah, filet Maltese. North Koreans risk the wrath of the regime if they want to keep dogs as pets. Pyongyang has decreed, warning the canines should only be kept for meat and fur. The bizarre plan was announced through the Socialist Women's Union of Korea, according to the source in South Pyongyang province, which lies north of the capital. Treating a dog as a family member who eats and sleeps with a family is incompatible with the socialist lifestyle and should be strictly avoided. If you're going to be a socialist, Bernie Sanders socialist, 32-hour work week, and you got to kill and eat your dog. Dressing dogs in clothes, as exemplified by Western celebrities like Paris Hilton, was also singled out for condemnation. It also, the dog feels shame. Don't dress your dog up. The practice of dressing up dogs as if it were humans, putting pretty ribbons in their hair, wrapping them in a blanket, and burying them when they die is bourgeois activity. It's one of the ways wealthy people waste money in a capitalist society. This is Bernie Sanders stuff here. Dogs are basically meat that's raised outside in accordance with their nature and then eaten when they die. And the great thing is, all you got to do if you want to have dinner, all you got to do, it's like they Uber themselves to you. Here, Scruffy! Come here, Scruffy! Come here, Scruffy! Here you go. It's one of the ways wealthy people waste their money. Yeah. Rising levels of dog ownership, a practice described by the authorities as carrying the stench of the bourgeoisie, reportedly motivated the new edict. So maybe they'll have like a Chihuahua filet instead of Chick-fil-A over there. Maybe that's it. Yeah. I think we need to have one of these.
Stupid, 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 stupid people.
Just plain stupid.
Stupid as stupid does, Miss Blue.
Who got stupid?
Canadian police advise leaving car keys in the front door to deter break-ins and minimize conflicts with thieves. See, if they came to my house to steal my car, they'd get their asses shot. Because I live in an open carry county and state. Yeah. But the Toronto police constable, Marco Riccardi, says basically you need to leave the keys on the stoop or inside so the thieves won't shoot you. So what do you suppose that's going to do to deter car theft? Here's a report.
Updated advice for all vehicle owners. A message echoed by There's also updated advice for all vehicle owners. A message echoed by Toronto police speaking at an Etobicoke safety meeting last month. Constable Marco Ricciardi had a new message for vehicle owners who keep their fobs in Faraday pouches.
To prevent...
The hell is a Faraday pouch?
The possibility of being attacked in your home... Leave your fobs at your front door because they're breaking into your home to steal your car. They don't want anything else. A lot of them that they're arresting have guns on them, and they're not toy guns. They're real guns. They're loaded.
That's why Galinsky says they will be installing the door stops and taking YPR's advice seriously. But she'd like more action from police as well.
Yeah, then I guess you should also put your jewelry, all of your valuables, just inside the front door. Just in the front door. Right there, because you know that this way you don't get hurt. They just rob you blind. You might as well just put it on the darn porch. Put it on the freaking front porch. But I tell you what, this is why Canada is a sucker fish on the United States. Because honestly, they're too stupid to live on their own without our protection. Not all of them, just the people in charge.
Stupid, stupid, stupid.
Just plain stupid.
Stupid is stupid, does Mr. Blue.
Who got stupid?
Yeah, they say.
You're too stupid to have a good turn.
Also, you should ensure your driveway is well lit and keep exterior lights on at night so, you know, the thieves can see the way to the front door. Make sure you got security cameras, install a home alarm system, consider having a motion detection alarm, put security film on glass, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. Just take the thieves' gun from them and shoot yourself in the head. There you go. Just do it all. I tell you what. Unbelievable. Jason Miller, one of the chiefs of the Trump organization and campaign, joins us on the other side of this break. And this is the Rob Carson Show. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, it's Tony Marino, host of the wildly popular Newsmax Daily podcast, available for free along with Jerry Callahan, Rob Carson, and other great podcasts at newsmax.com/listen or wherever you get podcasts.
We have a special guest on the Newsmax hotline. Jason Miller is a Trump senior advisor, five-star general in the MAGA army, and he joins us. Hello, my friend. How are you doing today?
Rob, it is great to be back with you. Congratulations on the ratings and all the success. And everybody's talking about Rob Carson all the time.
My friend, I got to tell you, it's another day, another indignity. We find out Fannie Willis can stay on the case despite perjuring herself, and then the guy she hired, he might get fired. MSNBC is saying that maybe she ought to step down because they think that keeping her on threatens the case. What are you guys thinking this morning after you've had a chance to digest all this nonsense?
Great point. Before I pick up from where we are in our opinion, you bring up MSDNC and Andrew Weissman, obviously no fan of President Trump and one of the deep state haters par excellence. He was brutal to Fannie Willis on MSDNC this morning on a morning bike.
Really?
And I tell you, they have just been absolutely tearing Fannie Willis apart, just saying not just the appearance of impropriety, but the what there likely is impropriety going on. So while we respect the judge's ruling today, which of course we're going to, we think this whole thing is BS and nonsense and should be completely thrown out. But what you've seen with Fannie Willis this week, with a number of the charges being dismissed earlier in the week, and then now really kind of reaching the point where the judge said, hey, this doesn't look good with you and with Nathan Wade, and so either he has to go or you have to go. What this really does is it puts the entire investigation and prosecution into doubt. It's, for lack of a better term, it's just, Rob, it's become a clown show.
Yes, and then also you add into it the Robert Hur testimony, which was unbelievable this week. I mean, honestly, the Democrats looked like a clown car in a burning dumpster going off a cliff. But we had a ruling out of Florida with regard to the classified documents case. What does Hur's testimony do to this classified documents case, and is anything going to happen before November? Because from what I can gather, it's not even on the docket right now. What's happening?
Not on the docket right now. I think there are a lot of legal things that are being worked through in all of these various cases. I do have confidence in Eileen Cannon and being a judge who is well-respected on the bench, taking a good big-picture assessment of this. Here's the thing with Joe Biden and this Robert Hur report. I think Democrats thought he'd go up to Capitol Hill, they'd be able to chop him up a whole bunch of ways and dunk on him and say, see, this is some kind of big Trump conspiracy. And that wasn't the case at all. I mean, Robert Hur laid out a very convincing case of why Joe Biden was cognitively impaired, how he's by no means was he exonerating Joe Biden. But at the same time, we look at it and say, well, if it's just the matter of Joe Biden is too much of a doddering old fool and that's why you're not prosecuting him, well, then why are you prosecuting President Trump, who just because he's in great shape and actually does have some vigor as opposed to Joe Biden?
It is remarkable to me that a man could take classified and top secret documents for 40 years when he was not allowed to have them, keep them in 7 or 8 locations. You see how, and this is my opinion, Jason, I believe that Joe Biden's presidency is the quid pro quo we've been looking for. I think that our enemy countries, where he has gotten, clearly his family's gotten money, have been benefiting from his presidency in a number of ways, particularly China with the Keystone XL pipeline, particularly with not going after the origins of COVID, particularly with the fentanyl poisoning of America. It's fairly clear to me. That said, every day, Jason, and I'm close to my listeners and the American people, people those who are suffering in this country. And then I see things like these two terrible judgments in New York that are attempting to strip Donald Trump and his family of his businesses and bankrupt him. And we are righteously angry about this. And every day we ache when these things happen. How does the president, how does his family every day get up with resolve and strength and optimism in the face of all of this?
I don't know how he does it, just to be honest with you. I'd probably crumble at a fraction of that. But part of the thing that really does move him and motivate him is the fact that there's so much support for President Trump. This isn't just anecdotal, whether it's people who are showing up outside of Mar-a-Lago or out in front of Trump Tower with the Trump 2024 flags and banners and showing up to rallies and the front row Joes and the women from North Carolina who show up and cheer for President Trump at these rallies. It's the energy there, yes, but you look at the poll numbers. The poll numbers show every time the deep state or Joe Biden's legal henchmen come after President Trump, his numbers just continue to go up and up. And so the difference here, Rob, with this campaign versus whether it's President Trump or any other campaign in history, this is a movement. And President Trump is the leader of the movement. And people realize that ever since before he came down the escalator, they've been after him, whether it's spying on him or Russia, 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 or Ukraine, Ukraine, Ukraine. People realize that from the beginning, the deep state has been willing to pull out every card they can to try to stop him because President Trump is the existential threat to the deep state.
You've been talking about how we need to essentially stop the steal, overwhelm them with the massive turnout that we're expecting. And there's some real positives happening. I look at Ronna McDaniel stepping down from the RNC, Lara Trump being on RNC. They just cleaned house the other day. I wouldn't mess with Lara Trump. She's a triathlete and a mother, and I would not mess with her. But a lot of good things are happening there, and it sounds like the RNC is beginning to hear us. Do you get that feeling?
100%. And we're putting in people who are committed and loyal to President Trump. We're going to do everything they can to get him elected. We've also, too, drastically downsized the number of the staff to make sure that money is being put out in the field to help turn out our people and then make sure that we have the lawyers in place to make sure that only the legitimate ballots are counted. That's really one of the top priorities. So the mission statement at the RNC has been changed quite a bit. Laura's doing a fantastic job. Chairman Watley, who's now on board, is doing a great job. We're going to get this thing reoriented. And because the important, Rob, is we have to go back to all the small dollar donors, people who send in $5, $10, $15 a month to the RNC and say, your money is going to help President Trump and it's not going to some staffer in Washington.
Well, and that money means so much when you consider the suffering of the American people, Jason. I mean, you got people who are looking at their mortgage payments doubling. You've got home values doubling from 230,000 3 years ago to 400,000 now. A lot of young people who are unable to afford homes. And that's another interesting thing, Jason. Younger people, Gen Z, and I've got two kids who are Gen Z, and they got kind of hosed with regard to COVID protocols from the federal government. Both of my kids were cheated out of 2 years of their education, full-time education, one in college, one in high school. The young people are beginning to turn on all this woke nonsense, this CRT, this transgenderism and whatnot. Are you feeling that? Are you hearing that from young people? What are you doing to reach out to young people?
Well, we are, and that's why we see it in the polling where President Trump is leading Joe Biden with young voters. And what's really sad here, Rob, is yes, we have the politics in the 2024 race, but for the first time in our nation's history, the young people of today do not think they will have as good of a standard of living as their parents. That's always been really kind of the American dream, that your parents start somewhere. It doesn't matter where you are, who you came from, what community you're from, or how much money your parents had, anything like that. You have the ability to do better than your parents. And quite frankly, that's what every parent wants. Every parent wants their child to do better than they did, have a better standard of living, a greater place in the world. This generation, though, looks and says, we do not think we will have things as good as our parents. That's troubling. That's really concerning. And I think that's part of this mindset that so many of the Democrats and folks like Joe Biden, they put in a place of, you know, we all need to suffer a bit. We all need to share a bit. We need to help out all these newcomers rather than putting other Americans first. And that's wrong. That's wrong, Rob. It makes me feel uncomfortable that people in America are looking and say, we're not going to do as well as our parents. That's BS. President Trump wants to make sure that everybody is going to improve with their family going to the next generation.
Yeah, I remember Donald Trump saying to people of color, you know, I mean, how much worse can it get for you, essentially? And now we've seen it. And a lot of people of color, particularly black people in inner cities, are seeing that. And I got to tell you, Jason, I see these man on the street interviews and people talking to black people around the country. And it used to be you wouldn't even say the R word, let alone saying unabashedly that you would vote for Trump. But if I'm not mistaken, I saw homeboys and rappers at Mar-a-Lago the other night. I mean, things are really starting to turn. They're really starting to turn.
Well, and so much of it in the media does not want to cover this. MSDNC does not want to cover it. CNN does not want to cover it. The Republican Party is now the party of the working class. This is completely flipped. If you think back to the mid, early 2010s, the Republican Party was symbolized by, sorry, no one gag here on the air, but by Mitt Romney or by Paul Rhino. Those were kind of the faces of the Republican Party, of the kind of the ivory tower elites. Well, now the Republican Party is viewed as the working class, whether those be black Americans, Latino Americans, white Americans, Asian Americans, whomever. If you're working class and you're paying taxes, you want to see the country go in the right direction, you tend to be Republican. If you're someone who wants to see open borders and you're kind of a, for lack of a better term, an ivory tower Karen, as I would describe it, then you gravitate towards the Democrats. And that's having a big problem. That's why you look at right now Biden is completely twisted up like a pretzel, because he's in trouble in Michigan, not just because of, say, auto workers, where he's siding with the Ecoloons in California and not with the auto manufacturers in Michigan, so he's in trouble there. But he's also found a way to unite Jewish Americans and Arab Americans in their hatred towards him. Joe Biden has found a way to make everybody mad at him, and you see the Arab American brushback against Joe Biden. So I think he's in real trouble, not just in Michigan, but a number of communities around the country.
Now, his theme is, hold on, I'm coming. And that really makes a lot of sense, because a lot of the American people, and I said when Joe Biden was installed, I mean elected, it would be a matter of how much damage he could do before Donald Trump could return to office. And we've seen, and it's worse than I think most could ever imagine. How the hell do we get through this, Jason? How do we get through the next 7 months? I mean, we see how he's going after the president with all these lawsuits, which I believe are being exposed and are all, I think, a house of cards ready to tumble. But how does a country survive 7 more months of this man?
Well, we have to have some hope. We have to have some hope that we know that President Trump can restore the greatness we had during his first term. Keep in mind, once he wins that election, even before he's sworn in, he's going to go to work. So whether it talks about stopping the killing in Ukraine, whether we talk about bringing down the cost of energy, whether we talk about making sure the market continues to surge up, because then businesses will know that we're going to get the Trump tax cuts passed again. A lot of people aren't talking about that Joe Biden wants to let them expire. So it's somewhere between a $4 trillion and $6 trillion tax hike. So Biden would give us the largest tax hike ever in our nation's history. But if we can just hold on, as President Trump says, until November, if we can start to really put that together and get President Trump across the finish line, we can turn things around for America. It's that close. But the difference, Rob, between going off the cliff and into oblivion or restoring hope and have the greatness we had from 2017 to 2021, it's at our fingertips. We just have to do it.
I walk out every morning, Jason, and I see the same sky that was here 3 years ago. I breathe the same air that was here 3 years ago. The opportunity is still out there, but the only thing holding us back from life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are the people in control of this country. And I'm going to tell you, Jason, I think that history has brought us together to expose all of this. I never imagined, Jason, maybe you didn't 4 or 5 years ago, maybe 8 years ago before they really started going after Donald Trump, that we recognize that this deep state is so ungodly corrupt as to make the former Soviet Union look good. And so I'm grateful that it's been exposed. I am terribly sorry for how much you and the president and his team have had to go through. But I think we're in a period of great enlightenment, and I know we have a new American revolution. And I would literally compare it to the Berlin Wall moment in 1989 when I first got out of college. I really think something great is happening here.
You're right that this is a great awakening, because it's not just, say, the weaponization of government against political rivals, which they, you know, I used to think that was only like Colombia and Brazil and a number of other places. Yes. But it's right here in the U.S. We see the way that they're weaponizing government on whether it be the prosecutions or persecutions. We see the way they're weaponizing it with regard to ballot access. We see the way they're weaponizing when it comes to censoring certain free speech, going through social media platforms, things of that nature. They are putting not just their fingers on the scale, their entire bodies on the scale to try to move this thing in a direction against President Trump. But voters are pretty smart. And that's the great thing, Rob, is that voters, at the end of the day, have their antennas up. They're smart. They're intuitive. They see what's going on, and they're rejecting it.
All right, we got to run. But real quick, what would you recommend donating to the Trump campaign or the RNC? Which would you suppose that would be more beneficial?
So both would be great. I'd always say to President Donald J. Trump. Would always be the first choice. But also, we have new leadership at the RNC. I'm very confident in the way the money is going to be spent there.
All right. God bless you, brother. I hope to have you on again soon. This time we won't make it as long between appearances. All right?
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
We'll talk soon. Let's take a break. It's the Rob Carson Show. Awesome to have Jason Miller on the show today. All of the interviews we've had today, the video where you'll be able to see my fabulous face, will be on my Rumble channel at Rob Carson Show. Also, all my social media is at Rob Carson Show. All right, there you go. I have a new email address. It's robcarsonshow@gmail.com. See what I did there? I did that by myself. Yeah, I'm a big boy. My mom, years ago, had her identity stolen. She was in her 80s at the time. And there was one time my nephew, Matt, called her and said, I'm in jail, Mom. Grandma, I need her help. And my mom was like, okay. And she said, I'll do whatever. And she was on the way to the bank to get the money, to wire the money. And she stopped. There are a lot of ways that people will try to steal your money, steal your identity, and more importantly, the most valuable asset you have, which is your home. That's why there is Home Title Lock. I got Home Title Lock a couple of years ago, found there were people pinging on my property. Pinging on my property. And I'm not an old person. Unless, you know, you're 20-something and you'll think I'm old. So if you'd like to find out if somebody's trying to use your home equity or steal your home from you, all you got to do is just go get a free comprehensive scan of your home's title by going to HomeTitleLock.com/Carson. All right? You can try it for free. 30 days of legendary home title lock protection. HomeTitleLock.com, promo code Carson. HomeTitleLock.com, promo code Carson. On the heels of Jason Miller's appearance, it's time for this.
We won the last election.
Sean Parrish.
My campaign was perfection. They stole the vote, and we all know.
Air guitar.
They raided Mar-a-Lago. The FBI has got to go. They're not our friend. They are our foe. We're not gonna take it. No, you're not gonna take it. And you're not gonna take it anymore.
This I just have to say. We need another verse.
Hillary deleted all her emails. And Hunter Biden should be in jail. You know I am right, and they are wrong. We'll win come this November.
You betcha.
And this crap we will remember. Once and for all, let's drain the swamp.
Let's do it. Pave it over.
We're not gonna take it. No, you're not gonna take it. We're not gonna take it anymore. Believe me, we're not going to take it.
By the way, my TV show on Newsmax is called Rob Carson's What in the World. I've been doing it for 4 years, and this weekend show, I believe, is the funniest one. I promise you, you will laugh. I go off on everything from Joe and Mika to Fawny, and it is crazy good. If you want to go to Newsmax Plus, please do so, newsmaxplus.com. It's on your cable subscriber and, of course, DirecTV 349. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, wrap things up. This, my friends, is the Rob Carson Show. All right, that's going to do it for the show today, guys. The podcast is going to be epic. Go to your favorite podcast platform, ask for the Rob Carson Show, or you can ask, Alexa. Say, Alexa, play the Rob Carson Show podcast. God bless you. God bless America. God bless Israel. And until Monday, don't catch the stupid. See ya.